There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Coming up 6:23, Nick Harper is in New York. Early morning there. Nick, good to have you back on.
Hi, Tim. Good evening.
Welcome. So, a number of things to talk about with you today, Nick. The Moore Jones furore in Alabama, I suppose, news-wise, is dying down slightly. Can we start today, Nick, with lawmakers deciding on whether to roll back an Obama-era ruling, which treats all internet traffic as equal? Consumer groups concerned that cancelled net neutrality will give internet providers too much power. Net neutrality is something bandied about. I'm going to come clean and say to you, I'm not entirely convinced I understand what net neutrality really is.
Well, I think that's the problem. I don't think a lot of people out there do. It's not exactly the most self-explanatory name or the most exciting name either, but there are a lot of people who say that it is very important. Five people in the United States get to decide this today. The Federal Communications Commission, or the FCC, they're meeting, they're voting on this, and they are expected to roll this back. So they're rolling back a ban that was put in place during the Obama presidency that essentially stops your internet service provider from choosing which websites can run more quickly and which ones can run more slowly. So to take, for example, if you watch Netflix and you're sitting there and you suddenly get that little buffering spinning wheel popping up, that's very annoying. It may get to the point where you decide to ditch Netflix and go with a different streaming video service. And that is something that could potentially happen, because internet service providers could choose which websites they want to speed up. So for consumers, it could mean their favorite sites have been slowed down. And it also could mean that companies are held to ransom, because they may have to pay internet service providers to get preferential treatment to speed up their site. So Netflix would pay the internet service providers to get a faster bandwidth speed. And for consumers, they may have to then pay Netflix more money so they can get a better service. Obviously, that's just one example. Plenty out there for any websites that you regularly look at. So the people behind the internet, the pioneers, and also net neutrality champions, saying this could threaten not just what we browse online, but essentially it threatens free speech and free expression, because it gives those internet service providers a lot of power on what we can access and how quickly we can access it.
And Nick, the New York bombing suspect who allegedly detonated a pipe bomb on Monday has made his first court appearance. You're based in New York. How has the city been reacting?
Yeah, it's interesting, Natalie. It's been a funny few days. On Monday, when this first happened, about 7:20 in the morning, Monday morning, middle of a very busy morning rush hour commute, there was pandemonium where it was taking place. But it very quickly got back to normal. This was a pipe bomb attack in which only the alleged suspect was injured, a couple of other people with very, very minor injuries. So it wasn't a wide-scale terrorist attack, as was initially worried. We saw people being evacuated, running from the bus terminal where this took place. Authorities essentially saying that it could have been much worse. But Akayed Ullah has made his first court appearance, but he'd done it from his hospital bed. They played live video of him in hospital straight into the courtroom, and he has been charged with a number of things, including providing material support to a terrorist organization, also using a weapon of mass destruction. He will have to reappear, probably physically, if he gets over his injuries in January to answer some of those charges, and we are likely to see a trial coming up sometime in the new year with the possibility of him being imprisoned for life if he is found guilty.
Nick, the big, I suppose, business story that's broken overnight in New York, or at least has been played up this morning, is Walt Disney buying Rupert Murdoch's Fox. Something like $52 billion, I believe. And I'm reading the BBC kind of analysis of this, but the first line is as follows. The deal ends Rupert Murdoch's more than half a century of media empire building. There's a grand claim.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, this guy who is now, I believe, in his 80s, he has built a huge empire, really from scratch. He took over a newspaper that he inherited, and from there on out, he's created one of the largest, biggest, most influential media organizations in the world. And throughout all of that time, it's been about acquiring. But here he is effectively turning it all around and selling off a huge stake of 21st Century Fox. Yeah, a deal of it's worth about $54 billion. If you factor in the debt as well, it takes it up to about $66 billion. Disney will take over the TV network, the film studio, international broadcasting rights. Fox will keep Fox News and also Fox Sports. Those will form a new company. All of that still needs approval, and there may be some concerns that it will affect consumers and competitors adversely. It also means that Disney gets a bit more of a stake on online streaming. They'll get a stake in Hulu, the video streaming service, so that means that they have even more power to take on the likes of Netflix and other streaming services. But yes, a huge shake-up of the media industry as a result of this deal.
Meanwhile, Nick, the trials for the FIFA bribery and corruption scandals are hotting up, I guess. A New York court is expected to return three verdicts in the coming days and sentence the former Honduran football president on Friday.
Yeah, this one feels like it's been dragging on for years, mainly because it has. We had the raids, which were very dramatic in the Swiss hotel back in 2015. Charges by US authorities on a couple of dozen people in December 2015. And since then, it's just been going through the courts. But we are, I guess, reaching a pivotal moment. This verdict, which is just around the corner, of three officials from South America. Bribes, they are alleged, of taking a totaling $20 million in return for preferential marketing rights. Separately, we'll have the sentencing of a man who's pleaded guilty, the former Honduran football president, also president of the country in the 1990s, Rafael Calias. He will be sentenced on Friday lunchtime, could face as many as 20 years of jail, but it's very much reaching that pivotal moment where all of this work over the last couple of years is getting to fruition with verdicts and sentencing.
Nick, a final thing. We just finished with Dubai International Film Festival, the 14th edition of that. Film story to end. A man who's no stranger to here, spent some time in Dubai. George Clooney gave 14 people who helped him when he was a struggling actor $1 million each. That's benevolence.
It certainly is. What a nice guy George Clooney is, essentially, this story is saying.
Yeah.
It's all come out after one of his friends spilled the beans. He gave a dinner party with a bit of a difference. Back in 2013, he invited 14 friends to his house. These were the people who'd essentially let him sleep on their couches, let him sleep in their apartments when he was trying to get his big break, when he moved to LA, trying to get into TV before he joined the TV series ER, before he got into films. So they came to this dinner party, and at their place, there was a suitcase for each of them. Inside, $1 million in $20 notes. He's saying that essentially he's paying it back. These are people who he was struggling in the past, and some of them now are struggling to make their rent, to support their families. There is apparently one of them, one of these 14 people, who's received $1 million. At the time, he was working at a bar in Texas, trying to support his family, riding on a bicycle each day to work. So he came to this dinner party and left $1 million richer.
Did he leave on a bike?
Good question. I know.
Yeah. We should find that out. I mean, there's a screenplay in this. I also wonder if you give somebody $1 million in cash and $20 bills in a, it would be quite a big suitcase, I would guess. What are the tax implications of that?
Well, yeah, it seems slightly odd. It seems slightly dodgy. Some kind of almost plot line from one of the Ocean's 13 films. But
there you go. That's Ocean's 17, probably, in theatres near you soon. Nick Harper is in New York. Good to talk to you, as always.
Thanks very much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.